In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we're already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 786, Ghostbusters 4, if you're a misogynist.
5?
Ghostbusters,
oh, yeah, okay.
5, if you're not.
No, that one's not in continuity. This is 4.
Yeah, no, I was going to say,
it's not in continuity,
honesty,
for now.
I would consider this 4 because it's not in
I would not
the
be
girl
surprised.
One is not in continuity.
They have, because they have the old Ghostbusters playing different characters in that.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if they find a way
to
do a Ghostbusters multiverse.
No.
And they bring in the other 4.
Well, that depends on how this one does. They might have to.
Yeah, that's true.
That one, I mean, is.
Yeah.
Right or wrong?
Yep.
Wrong. It's.
Wrong.
It's. That's so tainted and toxic.
Sure.
They would never bring it in.
Don't we say that?
It would, no, because these movies are trying to correct.
A major to come around on that as a property.
Did they announce that as like that version as well as a sequel, a legacy sequel, or was the legacy sequel in
response.
It was a response.
Okay, but they didn't announce them at the same time.
If that one did well, they would be the Ghostbusters.
That's fair. If that had worked, we'd be on our third one of those right
now. That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it did not.
It did not.
Yeah.
Because fans are dickbags. Not fans.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
People.
I mean, I don't like that movie, but it has nothing to do with the being Lady
movie's
Ghostbusters.
Fine. I like the movie.
I thought, here's my thing. It actually.
Who is this?
No, I'm sorry. Have we started already?
We have started. But yes.
You haven't started yet.
I haven't started yet. Sorry.
No.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
It remembered that Ghostbusters is a comedy.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, that's the thing where it got it right.
Yes.
Where these new ones, well, this one a little bit got it right. The one before, not so much.
But. Yeah.
So. Bingo.
Well, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us today is Matt Reedy. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for
being here. Matt Reedy from the Dune 2 letter.
Yes, exactly.
He's like, counterpoint. Might or might not have slept through
the Actually, my counterpoint wasn't so much a counterpoint. It was an in-between.
It really
you
was.
And, yeah.
But you know what? That episode got a lot of views, so maybe we should talk more about Dune 2. I don't think that's a bad thing.
You know what else got a lot of views? And really quickly. Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, in only a few days, it's over 500-600 views.
Oh,
wow. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, and Priscilla got a lot of views. So.
3,600 views.
Those
so,
are great.
We just want to start off by saying that Slimer is a pedophile.
Oh, I was like, Elvis Presley's a pedophile? You're right.
Maybe Slimer is Elvis's ghost. They never did really say.
It would explain the culinary decision.
Just slime and everybody that comes in contact with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking the big pile of fast food. And
that's what. Yeah. No. Also true.
Yeah. It works on both levels. So before we dig in, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, YouTube, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us. While you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. It's super helpful, and it's greatly appreciated, and it's good for our wounded egos.
Mm-hmm.
You can also...
Egons.
Yes.
Hey.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page. Join the group. The group is called the League of Show Sharers, with artwork designed by Matt Reedy.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you will share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week include Travis Tewitt, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Tom Dowdy, Ralph Tribble, Chris Falls, Phil Timon, Julianne Jordan, Richard Kratzer, Chris Magic Man, Gabriel Lugo, Taylor Ward, Heather Sachs, Corey Tatum, James Install, David Rojas, Colby Mack, Binge Movies, Geek to Me Radio, Mike and Oscar, In Session Film, Ronnie Castle, Matt Niglia, and The Film Bee. So thank you very much. Also, don't forget you can watch all of these on the aforementioned YouTube, and you can support the show if you are so inclined over at Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers. Where 100% of the money goes to Matt F.
Basler. We have to.
Yeah, 100% of the profits. You're 100% correct. All profits go to Matt F. Basler.
Yeah, but the MCU's done. It's in the can. That's finished.
Yeah, we recorded that last week, and we're getting ready for MCU Phase 2.
So no, we did Phase 2. Phase 2 is on the main show. We just didn't do Phase 1.
Someone's trying to turn this into a horror podcast.
Because it is. That's what it is. It's a horror movie podcast. But
there's a lot of stuff on there, a lot of horror and non-horror and interviews, and there's all sorts of stuff, so check that out.
There is one thing that I think we should... I did not mention on the Patreon, and I guess I can mention. There's going to be a... If you're thinking about joining the Patreon, I recommend it only because... Since we've wrapped up the MCU, we're going to put a poll up of a bunch of different stuff we can do. The one thing I didn't bring up that I thought about after this is The Crow, like the Crow series. We haven't, we haven't covered those. I did an audio commentary with local DJ Learn from 105.7 The Point. We did a commentary over the main movie, but I don't think we've ever talked about those given the most recent, 50-50 split over the new Crow trailer. I think that might be something that could be kind of fun to go back and revisit. Even the really bad, like, you guys don't even know
Edward Furlong.
That's crazy. Yeah. There was a TV show. There was a syndicated TV show with Mark Dukakis as Eric Draven. So they bring him.
Do you have to bleep it out when he says Dukakis?
It's questionable.
Yeah,
it's Matt Bukakis.
I don't know if you can say that either.
But it's he's the guy, if you don't know, he's the from the American version of
he's from Double Dragon.
That's also correct.
He's from Double Dragon. Let's
but
get
I
real.
Think most people probably know him as the host of the American
Chef or whatever.
Iron Chef.
Yeah.
So you kids that are complaining about Bill Skarsgård looking like the Crow, go back and watch City of Angels, The Crow Salvation, Wicked Prayer. Don't talk to me about bad-looking Crow movies.
I love it when people complain about, like, you're ruining the original.
No, you're not.
When there's, like, first off, no, the original's still there. Second, there's, like, 45 different ruined versions of the original.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Just forget they exist. Like, does with the Smokey and the Bandit made-for-TV movies.
Correct.
There's, like, 8 of those things.
Is there really that many?
I think so.
Smokey is the Bandit?
Well, that's the third one, was going to be the third one. But there's like, they did a whole...
Without Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, they were made for TV movies. They did this thing called the Action Pack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it aired in syndication, and then they would... And every week, it would rotate between different established IPs. And so there was a series of made-for-TV movie sequels to Smokey and the Bandit. And then there was a series of, I think they did Dukes of Hazzard with a whole new thing. And then they did Midnight Run with Shooter McGavin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As like, who?
As
De Niro?
The De Niro character.
That's wild.
Did you hear there's a script for two?
Like
Sandler handed it to Shooter McGavin at a con or something recently. He said, hey, you'll like this.
Happy Gilmore 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, thanks.
For Netflix.
No. Uh-huh. I mean, I like the first. That's the thing. You were just talking about it. I love that first movie. I don't need a second one.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no one needs it. Now Chubbs can't be in it.
That's true.
Like, even as a ghost, remember?
I guess you could make him a... I mean, if they brought back Egon in the first movie, I don't think they're...
I don't think they're going to bring him back.
It's what Carl Weathers would have wanted.
That's exactly right.
He wants me back as a CG
ghost.
Carl Weathers, as long as
you're paying my estate.
That's right.
So, but anyway, there's all that. Let's dig in.
Well, before we do, Matt, you know, I think it's... Obviously, this time of March is the real spoilers / review STL birthday week.
Oh, yeah.
So Kevin's is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Blake's was a couple days ago. Yeah. Steve's was yesterday. Dan's was a couple days ago. Mine was on Tuesday.
And I'm in September.
And you're
the only one that's not a mark.
But Matt Reedy, I don't know if you can see this on camera, was kind enough to give me a Wolfman's Got Nards sticker from Monster Squad, which is great. I love it so much. Thank you so much,
Jeff Carlson is the artist. I sat up next to him at a convention last year.
I love it.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, boop.
I will say one of the fun things about this community is I have been given, I guess that's not true. I paid
Brad
for that poster.
But they're looking out for
it. Yes, they're looking at which I love it so much. So if you don't know this story, Brad, we were literally recording an episode, and Brad Hyen, friend of the show, was at a convention, and a guy had a rolled theater used Monster Squad poster. And he was like, do you want this? And I was like, how much is he asking for? And he was like, $25. I was like, buy it. Like, buy it now and I'll pay you for it. And I have that framed in my new house.
For an actual theater poster, $25 is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. But like, you know, sometimes you get the, like, it's theater used, but you can feel the paper stock is like, that's not
right.
But I touching that one, I was like, that's
a one sheet's thick.
Yes.
Like, and slick.
Yes. And they're almost thick and slick. They're see through. Like, well, they have to have,
because,
like,
they put behind the light.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
The old ones were
double-sided,
but the other side was in reverse.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, my Superman Returns poster,
that's
just the S, like, just for the record, because it's a cool-looking poster, is just like that. Mm-hmm. And my Halloween Returns poster is like that, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thank you so much, Matt. This is so good. It's good. I love that movie.
Awesome.
Okay, let's dig into Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I had a lot of fun at this movie. I thought it was light. I just don't.
I'm glad someone did.
Yeah, I just.
It's okay.
Yeah, like that's where I landed. I'm like, it's fine.
Like, I wasn't mad that I spent money and bought popcorn.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Where
I'm
at.
It was fine, but
this is a really good live action adaptation of the cartoon.
Yes.
Thank you. That was my exact thought. Yeah, I was like, this is an episode of the real Ghostbusters, but overstuffed.
But there's this weird thing happening with Ghostbusters where I feel like each one of these is an overcorrection to something that happened before, right? So I think there's two good Ghostbusters movies. I think Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters Afterlife are the two good movies. I think the second one's bad. I think this one's okay.
It's weird. The second one, to me,
the second one's like, the first half of it is good.
Yeah.
And then it just loses the thread.
It goes wackadoo.
It's so boring. You don't see a ghost for 30 minutes in the second one.
Here's the thing, though.
It's so boring.
I don't care.
The ending is a retread of the first one.
And so is this one.
But instead of fighting a giant... A marshmallow man, they fight a giant Statue of Liberty.
The same. Yeah,
but they were the statue.
Oh, right.
but visually, it's the same giant creature.
Right. Yes. And also, it's like coming off the first one, and then all of a sudden, it's like everyone hates the Ghostbusters and doesn't believe they're real. And
okay, so that's, I mean, I'm not defending it, but like, that is a lazy sequel trope that you see in almost every sequel from that. Right, they don't continue a story.
Yeah,
it's like they. Because they didn't plan to make a bunch of them. Like, this is the upside to movies always planning for sequels these days. There's a story. They try to lay the groundwork, but original people, they never thought they'd make more Ghostbusters. Sure. It was going to be one and done, and they move on to the next thing. And so all your problems, all your conflict is resolved.
Yeah.
And so then to create conflict, they always end up busting up the team and destroying the magic of the first one,
like this one,
because you spend the bulk of the movie with the people you loved hanging out together being mad at each other and not hanging out.
I don't like it.
You see it all the time.
You're absolutely
in sequels
right.
From that,
well,
era.
It's think of all the Rocky movies. They always have to have a contrivance to make him the underdog,
right?
You know, he comes out on top, but something's got to knock him back down to zero.
For sure.
And then every time.
Which, honestly, in the Rocky movies, though, that's not terrible. You know,
there's
like,
always someone stronger that comes and challenges.
Or younger.
Yeah.
Which, but or Russianer.
Yeah, Russianer.
Yeah. But so, and I think the other problem with Ghostbusters 2 was the advent of CGI.
Yeah.
And so in the original Ghostbusters.
He is Viggo.
It's all practical for the most. I mean, Slimer's not. But
sure.
Like,
no, he's a puppet.
Is he a puppet?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a puppet in the new movie, too, for some of the scenes.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. But, like, it's basically all practical. When she's levitating on that bed, they're doing magic.
Right. Yeah.
Right? That's a magic trick
yep.
that they're filming. And because of that, Bill Murray would be there, and he would riff. But with Ghostbusters 2, they start doing CGI, and then they're not together.
Yeah.
And it loses that comedy
in the
chemistry.
In the moment.
Which, in my estimation, the franchise has never gotten back.
Well, I don't think we've talked about this before, is that era of writing is over, right? Like, they're not, you don't have comedy writers writing comedies anymore. You yeah. have writers who are trying to throw in funny stuff. So, you know, Ivan Reitman, and I would consider Judd Apatow, guys that could write funny stuff.
Harold Ramis
is a great example.
And Judd Apatow would let funny comedic actors be funny.
Do their thing.
And then
sometimes for a little bit too long.
Yeah, sure.
But
yeah. but and then edit it together
yeah.
And yeah. get you the best of it. And that's not what they're doing here. And
no.
It's what's really weird is I get the vibe
yeah.
that they did do it.
Oh.
And then they didn't use any of it.
Hmm. Interesting.
Like, there are moments that feel like someone's riffing a little bit. I like Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I think the Paul Rudd busted makes me feel good.
Like, that was great.
I think that was just Paul Rudd being Paul Rudd.
That's yep. probably the best line in the movie.
And I don't think that was in the script.
Well, I think this is the biggest problem. Well, here, there's two main complaints I have. The one thing is, the old Ghostbusters, this is such a nostalgia fest, but the old Ghostbusters wrapped it up perfectly in Afterlife.
Yeah.
Stop trying to ham-fist in nostalgia with the old Ghostbusters.
I don't even mind Ray. I like the idea of Ray.
Ray's the best part of the movie, but
yeah.
But I'm just saying the whole,
agreed.
Let's get them back suited up and busted
right.
ghosts. We did that.
We saw it.
We had a touching moment. Egon
yep.
was there as a ghost. Like, they finalize that. Have Ray be doing his spiritual stuff, whatever, and guiding them and guiding McKenna Grace. That's fine. But stop being like, oh, we have to suit them up. Like, I get it. You love them, and they're not going to be around forever. I get why they want to do it, but it just slows the movie down to a screeching halt.
And it doesn't have the impact that it did in
It does
in
not.
No, they're undermining yeah. it because they got together for Afterlife, and they got
I
it.
I even think if you do the kid, like, if you put Ray in Ray's role, I think that works perfectly mm-hmm. because that's who Ray was, right?
And Dan Aykroyd, I haven't seen him be this good in a long time.
No.
Like, I thought he did some good acting in this
But
movie.
I think having Ernie Hudson as the philanthropist,
yeah.
I'm fine with
Have
that.
Them
the
doing
Nick,
that.
Having
Nick Fury of Ghostbusters.
Yes, right. Having Bill Murray in that one little snippet, I think is also fine.
Right.
Right? But having them all come back at the end.
It's just, yeah, they
yeah.
should all
and then
be
they
graduated.
Don't do anything.
They're not Ghostbusters anymore. You have Ray do the shop thing, Ernie be the real estate guy, Bill Murray doing whatever he does and he pops in. But to keep having to bring them back to do the thing.
Is it William
this
Atherton?
This is my biggest argument or complaint with this movie. Is
yeah.
There's too many Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. There's too
yeah.
many characters.
Way too many. I mean, you have the new team,
oh,
you have
yeah.
the old team, but then you have now this third team of Winston's people,
yeah.
which are I don't
and
even
they've
know
got
why.
People. They've got the kids from the last
yeah,
one.
Yeah, they had some excuse to move those kids from.
Why are they in New York,
Oklahoma?
Yeah. Why are those two kids in New York?
Yeah,
like really, they're kids.
They got an internship.
Yeah, he's at space camp.
But why couldn't they have just left them there? And they don't have to be in this.
Well,
movie.
Because Podcast was a very popular character.
Was
and
he?
I
was
yeah.
I
think
I thought he was great. But I don't need him in every movie.
And what about the other new guy? I can't even remember his name.
I have no idea who that.
The guy with
was.
The accent.
Yeah,
the
guy that looks like cartoon Egon.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Thank you. That was my thought. I was like, they yeah. got cartoon Egon here. They shortened his hair a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't even put that together until you just
sure
said that.
What he brought to this.
This is the problem with this movie. Paul Rudd, Gary Gruberson, Carrie Coon, Callie Spangler, Finn Wolfhard, Trevor Spangler, McKenna Grace, Phoebe Spangler, Kumail Nanjiani, and Nadeem Razami, Patton Oswalt, Dr. Hubert Wartsky, Celeste O'Connor, Lucky, Logan Kim, Podcast, Emily Allen Lynn, not Jenna Ortega, James A. Caster, British Egon, not Egon guy. Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, Annie Potts, William Atherton. And then, I mean, but those are like the main characters, but they just try to show you all of them so much. This movie's sub 2 hours. You have that many characters. It's too much and nothing, no one gets
first
the
off,
time.
It should be sub 2 hours.
Agree is fine, but, yeah. But you shove this many characters, divide that by each one and try to give them,
you know, back to the funny stuff is if you watch the trailer,
yeah,
that scene in the mayor's office with William Atherton is totally different.
In the first one.
In the trailer.
In the first Ghostbusters.
No, or no, in this one. This one. He's talking about this
one. Yeah. Is it really?
It's totally different because they're doing this whole thing where they think, like, they're pretending like it's court, and then Finn Wolfhard is like, he's like, objection, sustained, thank you. And it's like, and it's actually, it's an amusing little back and forth.
Yeah.
And none of it's in the movie.
This one is so lame.
Which leads, which goes back to why I think they were like, they let Paul Rudd be Paul Rudd, and then they didn't use any of it.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. Like, I mean, that guy is a tested.
Paul Rudd is legit funny.
Yes.
Like, and
always.
And I think he's a great addition to this movie, and I hope one day they use him.
Yeah. Like, he should have been in way more scenes in this movie. He disappears. The parents disappear.
This is definitely.
Actually, a lot of characters disappear. were they filming Stranger Things
they
at
must
the same
have,
time?
Oh, they must have been.
Finn Wolfhard just disappeared with no explanation.
And like half of his scenes are him by himself?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes.
It's him and Slimer?
Yeah. We'll talk about this. This movie is like, you know, Phoebe, played by McKenna Grace, who is good. I like her stuff with Dan Aykroyd. They should have been the main ones that you saw. But they're like, hey, you're too young. You can't be a Ghostbuster. But Phil and Wolfhard can be. But let's not show him for half the movie. It's like, why didn't they do that to the character? Finn, you can't for some reason be a Ghostbuster. Oh, he's not in the movie anymore.
But it is, is definitely Phoebe's movie. Like, this is, she's the center character. And they did it again. They did it again where it's like, just pull the fucking trigger, will ya? Like, they are definitely the ghost who I thought was Chloe Grace Moretz for a long time.
I thought she looked just like Jenna Ortega, but I'm like, that doesn't sound like Jenna
Ortega.
You know
who she is. She's the, she's in Dr. Sleep. She's the one, like, she's the one that we see Rebecca Ferguson recruit. The gal from, like, the movie theater who was, like, she's always, like, she was killing pedophiles.
Oh, okay.
That's who that is.
She was in a movie with Jenna Ortega, which I thought was a funny coincidence. A Babysitter or something. You would have probably known.
That's the one with Samara Weaving?
Yes. Samara Weaving, Jenna Ortega, and
is she the
ghost in this movie.
Jenna Ortega's in The Babysitter?
It said, Emily Allen Lind plays Melody, the ghost that has this romantic kind of,
they're
like,
absolutely,
they're trying
into
to say
each
Phoebe
other, like,
is
just
gay. They're
do
not,
it.
But like, I think this movie has so much backlash from the bad fans, which I'm not saying means they should.
I hear
but
you.
With the female Ghostbuster and
but
the
then
toxic
don't do
fans.
It. Then don't do it.
Let them be friends
do it or don't.
And you wonder if maybe they did and they cut it.
They did. There's that scene when she's a spirit.
Let's
and
just
they,
get in the movie. Let's,
yes, sorry. We are not that far removed from the first Ghostbusters. We've got this new team of Ghostbusters. Just to touch on that real quick, if they're not going to pull the trigger on the McKenna Grace thing, pull the trigger on Carrie Coon and Paul Rudd. Like, they have these interactions where it's definitely alluded that they're a couple, but they don't, like, there's no loving embraces. There's no, like, they just went through some like, maybe,
but
you want to
totally a couple.
You want to smooch a little
bit. I mean,
bit.
He wouldn't be trying to position himself as
the
stepdad if they weren't a couple.
Which
but,
was fine, but it just seemed like, I don't know if they weren't clicking.
Seem like a couple.
At all.
But yeah, I will.
At all.
I will grant you that.
So they're busting ghosts. Like, that's what they're doing now. The
Spanglers are the new Ghostbusters team.
Yes.
And which is fine. So the movie should have been about the Spanglers,
yes,
the Ghostbusters being the Ghostbusters, and not half the movie about the old Ghostbusters trying to be, and the new Ernie Hudson team being Ghostbusters. It's like, this team was great. The dynamic from Afterlife, and they could have had a lot of fun with them, the family, going around and doing this thing.
Yeah.
And putting together a new team.
Yeah. That's exactly
it. Why did they
it?
Do it? They set it up so that they could be like, yeah, but, you know, these Ghostbusters over here. Yeah.
Our team are chasing down the Jersey Turnpike sewer ghost or something. And McKenna Grace has, I envision, like, this is who Egon was when he was younger, right? Just the kind of headstrong, I can kind of, I'm smarter than everybody in the room.
The Hell's Kitchen sewer dragon.
There we go. Thank you. So they're chasing this ghost and she, you know, kicks out of the suicide door. And I do like, we talk about the comedy and I do like this interaction between everybody in the car where it's like, it's hot in here, the air conditioning is not working, and now the window's not working, and McKenna Grace kicks the door open, and they're all freaking out that she's riding in the suicide
scene. This is dumb. What is the point of having her hair there with a proton pack, with a car that does cool stuff that you can go out the side, if she's not planning on doing it? They're like, don't, you can't do that. That's dangerous. It's like, you're sitting, she's sitting in the gunner seat with the proton pack.
If they
pack.
Didn't want her to do that, they should
How
have had
How else do you
sit,
catch the ghost? Right. That's the chair. Yeah. That's the part that gets out and catches the ghost.
Well, they have a lot of other tools to catch the ghost. They've got the drone. They've got the thing that drops out from the bottom. I took it as just traffic was too tight.
That's what I took
it as. She couldn't open the door.
Right. They do that when she,
eventually,
when they catch the ghost and she gets, you know.
But they don't want her to open the door. Right.
Well, yeah, because traffic.
Because traffic is too tight. I would say that was my
about having it's because
it wasn't about you can't do it because you're young. Okay. It was
don't do that. You're going to get taken out by a car.
Traffic is too tight. We're in Manhattan, and that was the least amount of traffic I've ever seen in Manhattan.
Yeah, I thought they were babying her, and I'm like,
no, she's
a Ghostbuster with a proton pack. Like, let her use the.
I agree with Tom. I think they were like, the traffic is awful. Don't
because this is not the appropriate situation to use that particular.
Which is where so they drive around New York all the time,
right?
When else are you going to do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
They rebuilt that car in Oklahoma where you could do that.
That's a good point.
Oh, the regular, it didn't do that before?
Didn't Ghostbusters
always have a gunner?
No, I don't think they made that up for the last
that
movie.
That was an afterlife thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They did that so they could sell new toys.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, maybe I'm thinking of the Turtles. I was thinking that there was always a door that kicked open, but I guess I'm thinking of the Turtle Mobile.
No, because
that had something like that.
The old Ecto-1, I mean, it just had like the only cool thing that it had was that where you would put the casket, they would pull that out, and that's where the proton packs were.
Okay, fair enough.
So they destroy part of, they catch the monster, but they destroy parts of the, you know, the proton packs are taking out parts of the building.
If they're, this is the thing, is like this movie, like, you know, we're talking about like in during Love Lies Bleeding, that if you're not liking a movie, you start asking all sorts of questions. So I'm finally asking after four Ghostbusters movies, how come the ghosts are monsters? Why aren't they all people?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
And again, harkens back to the cartoon where they weren't people ghosts for the most part. They were kooky creature ghosts that they can make toys for.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, because the spirits are like demons. I mean, there's a lot of demons that are possessing people too. So it's not really
I think of that scene in the second Ghostbusters when they're like, the Titanic just showed up and it's all of like, you know, ghostly people, like kind of like the Disney ride. Mm-hmm.
Haunted Mansion,
like walking off of the, and they would look kind of like gnarly and waterlogged or whatever, but.
And Cheech is there for no reason.
Oh, he's there for a reason. Like they paid him. Like,
well, but he was there to be like, is that the Titanic? That's it. So it's like, okay.
Oh, Ron Jeremy's in the first one.
Where?
He's an extra. He's in the crowd scene towards the end as they're saving the day. Like, I think you can maybe only see him on the widescreen version.
Okay.
But, like, he's standing behind one of the barricades.
That's
Ron
hilarious.
Jeremy is in the first Ghostbusters.
But this is Cheech, a very famous comedian at the time, in a speaking role.
Ron Jeremy is pretty famous to some people. Just saying.
I think a cameo is different than I questioned. They got Cheech to come and say one line in the movie was kind of weird. But
So they go back to the mayor's office. And, of course, it's not going to be Lenny. Lenny, I'm sure, is long dead at this point. But it's William Atherton.
Well, I also don't think he would be mayor for 40 consecutive years.
Maybe. Yeah. If he does a good job. I don't know. We've had mayors in this city that were mayors for way too long. Yeah. It shouldn't have been. But it's William Atherton as, and I don't remember his character's name.
Walter Peck.
Yeah. Which again is one of the.
Dickless.
I thought was a great line in this one where they're at the end of the movie and everybody's like, yeah, Ghostbusters. And you hear somebody in the background go, yeah, cheer for him, Dickless.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah,
I heard that, but the crowd knows. But it also, like, why would somebody in the crowd know that?
Well, I think
it was a private conversation held in the mayor's office 42 years ago.
Well, and
maybe
that,
it passed down as legend.
Yeah, like it's just total fan service.
That's exactly. But I also think it's like some, you know, you could say it's somebody in the crowd just calling him Dickless. Mm. But that's the problem I had with this movie.
Yeah,
is there is. I don't mind fan service when it's done right.
Yeah.
You know, like Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be fan service central.
But that's what that movie is.
That's
right?
My point.
The character is zany and
that's
meta.
That's
very
tongue in
cheek. Okay, Spider-Man.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, Norway Home.
Yeah.
Right? That's the one. Like that fan service was off the charts great,
and it's written into the story.
But it's right. the but yeah, but it's war, the plot.
It's the point.
Yeah.
It's the point.
This
of the
is
movie.
This is like when you when they're walking through the new Ghostbusters headquarters, and the one girl is in the background using the gun from Ghostbusters 2. I'm just like, why? Why would they be using the goop from Ghostbusters 2?
They still use the same phone from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, would
I had to laugh too when I saw that. I almost thought they were going to make a joke about that.
Isn't, like, yeah. Do they still have traditional analog landlines in New York? Isn't everything
still
VoIP?
There's still landlines.
But has everything flipped to VoIP? Would it work?
Oh, that's I don't know.
I know where I work, they had to pull out all the phones because we switched from landlines to VoIP. So I still have what physically would perceptually look like a landline,
right?
But the old phones wouldn't work, and I had to get new phones. So I'm like,
the rotary phone.
I mean, my grandma has a landline. I'm sure that they still have landlines there.
For a business, that just seems.
You know, I wonder. But, I do wonder.
But
though,
it's an old
since it's
firehouse.
A firehouse.
Good point. Yeah.
Like, you know? I wonder if they is kind of like a in case this doesn't work, we've got this backup.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. But that was my biggest problem with this movie.
But it's Easter egg the movie again. It's like when we talk about Mario, where it's just cramming Easter egg after Easter egg. Fan service when done organically is fine. You love to see it when it's not hitting you over the head. But when a whole movie is made,
Harold Ramis ghost in the last one
works
was great.
Yes,
total fan service. But like you got,
but
yes.
It's part of the story.
The worst
and that's
one,
the difference.
The worst one in this one for me was the library ghost.
I thought the same.
Oh yeah,
it might as well just turn to the camera and wink like.
Yeah. Huh? Not only the library ghost, but then the guy who runs the library.
Yes.
You know, like all that.
Hey, remember me?
Yeah, right.
Oh,
yeah.
He should be retired by now.
Okay, first of all, I don't remember that guy, and I couldn't tell you who that was, and I don't remember him in the second one.
He's in the first one.
Okay, but I knew that because he stopped and they winked at the camera.
Yeah. Yeah. It might as well have been a neon sign over him saying, remember me from first movie.
Yeah, that kind of thing is like, oh, come on.
Yeah. So
make him a part of the plot where something funny happens in the library, and he's like, quiet. You know what I mean? Like, don't walk up and be like, hey, you guys.
Or even have him say, oh, no, not again.
Right.
And then,
but like part of the action, but not when they're walking in. And he's like, hey,
yeah.
Remember
but the
me?
Fact that they did the library ghost like scene for scene from the first movie. Yeah. It's like, come on, man.
Well, and this this is the thing I think that hurts this movie is it's written by Jason Reitman and Gail Kenan.
Right.
And directed by Gail Kenan.
Who wrote the first
Gail
movie.
Kenan. Yeah.
Right.
Who wrote it? Right. He wrote it with him. Yeah. I think that, you know, writing, but he's not as strong of a director as Jason Reitman.
No. And does Jason Reitman. I also understand from Jason Reitman's point of view, he's like, I don't want to.
He doesn't want to be tied up with all these. He did Afterlife. He set it up wonderfully.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Great memory for his dad. And like, he set it up. But I just don't think Gil has. As good, you know, I mean, I like the guy. I've met him. He's nice. He's directed Monster House, is a good kids movie. Mm-hmm. City of Ember, he remade Poltergeist in 2015.
Which is not a good
movie.
Which
got a very bad reviews. Yeah. And so I think a lot of people are like, why did they pick him to direct this?
I mean, I think it's the...
He directed an 80s ghost movie.
He wrote the original,
the successful reboot. And I mean, I get it, you know, and he earned his chance, but he's just not as good as Jason Reitman, unfortunately. And
yeah, also the script's not very good.
Yeah.
Like, and
well, they wrote it, which is weird. The two of them wrote both of them.
Look, man.
Which I can't really explain.
There are... There are people who are writers who work in when they're writing, right? Like, so when he wrote this in, 84?
Who, Aykroyd?
No, the first one.
Aykroyd and Ramis wrote the first one, right?
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Reitman didn't write it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He directed it.
Okay. Yes. Right. But, we'll take Aykroyd, for example, right? He has the comedy stylings of somebody from the late 70s, early 80s. Now, I think it's insanely hard to take that same style and transfer it to 2024 because comedy is different. And I don't know that version of comedy would work in 2024. Right. So, and I think this guy's kind of in the same boat.
Everybody's woke.
That's I got to tell you, though, you're not totally wrong.
Yeah.
Do you hear now people online are complaining that Sydney Sweeney was forced to do a woke Nun movie, you know, the one she produced and got made because she wanted to do it. Apparently Hollywood forced her into because she was being adopted by the anti-woke crowd and they had to put her in her place. That's
so
scary.
So, they made this movie in the 3 weeks after that happened.
yeah.
You know what I like is I just read an interview with her where she said they were talking about
Madame Web
and how she was like, I have my foot in the door at Sony.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fucking brilliant.
I told Tom that she's going to be the next Margot Robbie,
yeah,
right? I mean, obviously both two beautiful, talented people, but not just good looks. Margot Robbie is a producer. She's produced very smart. Barbie.
I don't think Sydney Sweeney, from what I've seen thus far, has the acting chops of Margot Robbie.
No, but she's got the star power.
She's got the star power and the business
and the business sense, right? And so she's like, you know what? Madam Web was a job. I did my job and I got connections to make that other movie
and
that made tons of money.
Nobody's going to blame her for Madam Web.
Oh, they can't because she's in it for all of like 10 minutes.
Right. Absolutely. Nobody was like, this is the new Sydney Sweeney movie.
Right.
No. So it doesn't matter if
it was kind of weird that they didn't market it that way.
I think
she has nothing.
I think
to do
if
with
it had came out 4 weeks later, they would have.
Oh, because her star kind of took off.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I think they had kind of already locked in their marketing plan.
Well, she had that rom-com was really high.
Yeah. But it was a slow burn.
Oh,
well, like it was good. It I watched it.
Yeah, it was solid, but it didn't come out and make $100 million opening weekend.
Yeah, it's been doing it.
It just
slowly
kept making
$10
million a week.
Pulled up my Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I actually bought it new for $23. I didn't usually
did really?
Do that.
I liked it a lot. It was very funny.
Yeah, it was good.
They are that you can't put those two people in a movie anymore. Like, they are both too good looking.
I think they just filmed one together.
Did they really?
I think they filmed one like simultaneously.
It's like Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. Like, that's,
oh yeah,
that's
no, I think that's the plan. Is that they're not going to make sequels, but they're going to make spiritual sequels. Yeah.
They're
going to
do the.
And they're going to keep pairing them up
road
like,
movies. Like,
well, who was it? Was
like Hepburn and Tracy?
But it was.
I mean, I'm going to get struck down for comparing those two to Hepburn and Tracy.
But it's the same model.
How about Runaway Bride?
Yeah. Well, what's
Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan
and Sandler and Drew Barrymore?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they just, I'm pretty sure they worked on something like right after or simultaneously or whatever. So they're going to have
it. Was it McConaughey and Kate Hudson? Did they do a bunch
of
stuff together?
Yeah, they did a couple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than one?
I think they did.
I think so.
I don't know.
I don't know.
William Atherton's like, I'm finally I can take down the Ghostbusters. It's like, bro, that is a grudge, my friend.
40-year-old.
Yeah.
Who knew that being a middle manager at the EPA was a rocket ship to becoming mayor of New York?
It has been 40 years. And, you know, we all know people like Walter Peck who just
fail upwards,
suck until they get to where they need to get, you know?
Here's the thing. He's not wrong.
He's also not wrong.
Well, all of his complaints about a 15-year-old girl shooting a proton pack through and
his
carrying
complaints in the first one are wrong.
Yeah, it was 100%
true. Yeah, right.
Well, in the first one, he looked at them as they're con artists. He thought they were making it up.
But he's also
case, he
like, this stuff isn't safe. If what you're doing is true, we don't know that any of this is safe.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, also funny that he. Right, because in the first one, he goes into the firehouse
and
he
shuts it all down.
And then that sets everything off. It's like, but you saw it, and now it's happening again.
Yeah.
Which.
Was he in the second movie? I can't even remember.
I'm sure he must
I don't think he was in the second
one. I honestly don't remember.
Because it's some other guy that's trying to shut him down.
You think they really. Oh, maybe.
But they were already shut down at the beginning of the second one.
Yeah.
It was fallout from the Marshmallow Man disaster. They got sued for
no, but they
up the
but
city.
But when they when stuff happens again, they're like back, and then there's another guy that's trying to.
Man,
is that
even,
right?
Mm-hmm. I don't even remember. I haven't watched it.
He is Viggo. That's what I remember from that movie.
Yeah, the Ghostbusters come back and start doing commercials and stuff, and there's a guy in the wings working for the mayor's office. That's like trying. He's an actor you'd know, a character actor. I just don't know what his
name
is
one of the things that I do that I thought was we talk about fan service that I thought was brilliant in this movie is the fact that they take all of the marketing from Ghostbusters and they play it in this as like the Ghostbusters parlayed their fame or whatever into the toys and the cereals.
But they kind of do that too, don't they?
No, I thought it was the reverse.
They do with the music video and the commercials, but they don't with toys. And that at this point it's toys and cereal, the real stuff.
But I like that a lot.
This movie made clear that the second movie's canon because they showed the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
They showed,
it wasn't in the second movie the idea that they were all washed up because you know, everybody blamed him for ruining the city covered with marshmallow goo.
The second movie I think is stupid because they shouldn't have. Why couldn't they have just been Ghostbusters?
They were reduced to doing children's parties and stuff like that, if I remember
yes,
right.
That
so
is
then
a,
that makes me wonder where all the marketing, at what point in time, you know, in this movie
post,
they show the
post
cereal
two?
And the...
I would guess post two, the stuff we didn't see.
Then that makes sense. Okay.
Because they walked the Statue of Liberty using a Nintendo controller.
Yeah, they were heroes again.
Sure. Okay.
So yeah, so the Atherton's like, you're out, and then everybody kind of is in agreement.
He basically says like Phoebe's too young.
She's 15. We're not even paying her. He's like, now we've got child labor laws.
That doesn't make any sense either, because it's not labor. She's not paying her.
yeah.
But she's working. That's slave labor.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be like, that's slave, human trafficking.
Is it slave labor when you tell your kids to take the trash out?
I was going
to
say it's a chore.
Busting ghosts is a chore.
But I think it's slave labor if you own a restaurant and make them wait tables. Yeah.
Well, good point.
Maybe.
If it's a money-making operation.
Here's your allowance. Yeah.
So I did like that part, though, where Paul Rudd's like, I got this. And he goes and makes it worse. And she's like, I think you need to come back here.
But also, I do also like... Overall, like I said, I did enjoy this movie. I had a good time watching it.
I want an old-timey Ghostbusters prequel, because when they went to 1902 Firehouse or whatever, like the movie opens with what will be like the impetus of this movie is that there's this crazy demon creature trapped in this orb that these like the fire wielding people,
firewalkers or whatever,
could control, and they trapped him in this orb. And so you see it in like the old timey, they're out of the firehouse, there's like the old fire wagon.
It would be fun to see like an old west wild wild west Ghostbusters, but not wild wild west with
but they were just firefighters. But I was like, are these gonna be the first Ghostbusters?
I thought
it was gonna be like an old timey Ghostbusters, like before the, and I thought that would be fun to watch.
But like, I like the fact that Paul Rudd, you know, in the first one, he's their teacher, right? Mm-hmm. And we're past that, and it's definitely, we've said before that he and Carrie Coon are a couple.
Yeah.
And
moving to New York together.
I do like that he's trying to figure out, like, he vocalizes it. He's not just being like, I don't know what I'm doing, and doesn't talk to anybody, but he talks to Carrie Coon. He's like, I don't know what the line is here.
Yeah.
And I like that idea where instead of having this fake conflict, again, we talked about it in Love Lies Bleeding, where rather than have this conflict that nobody talks about and have that be a plot point, they do that here too, where he's like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Like, do I go too hard? Do I want to be their best friend? And she gives him, she's like, do it.
And this is kind of a funny scene where he was like, I will be nice to you, but mean to your kid.
Yeah,
she's
that
like,
was
like, she's like, yes, that's exactly what I want.
Every scene with Paul Rudd is funny. He's a funny guy. Put him in more of the movie.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I liked in those moments where she kind of snaps back, not snaps, but like quips back at him. And I was like, yes, like this is what the Ghostbusters was.
He's like, he's like, I'm going to be nice to you and a dick to your kids.
That's exactly what I want. McKenna Grace gets sidelined. Now what I thought was going to happen here, she goes to Central Park to play chess. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to
be Egon.
I thought it was too. Yeah.
And I was glad they didn't.
I don't know.
He passed on.
He moved on.
Remember, his business was closed. If you brought him back, like, again, they used that trick. It pulled at your heartstrings.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
They can't keep doing it.
I disagree.
These knee-jerk responses.
This movie says that they can keep doing it.
They keep doing lots of things they can't keep doing.
Yeah,
so.
But they didn't with that one. And I'm glad they didn't, because that's unfinished. But so she goes, and then she meets this ghost girl.
Who I assume burned her family alive. Like,
wasn't that what they were hitting at?
That's what I thought too.
She was playing with matches and
set her family on fire.
I don't think she. I don't. I didn't take
she didn't
it
do
as
it on purpose.
No. Yes.
She was
okay.
messing around, and then now it's her guilt of that happening is why she can't.
Yes. Can't
on.
Move. Can't
did
move
they
on.
Make? Did they say when this had happened?
No.
Mm-mm. Because I thought they were trying to insinuate that this happened a long time ago, but. As a ghost, she looked like somebody who died like yesterday.
She looks like a modern. I got the vibe that it was supposed to be a long time ago.
She's not dressed that way.
But she did not dress
or talk that way.
Herself in that manner.
Yeah. Hmm. So she basically, you know, they have this, they're playing chess together, and there's definitely some tension. Like McKenna Grace, who is still kind of, Egon always kind of did have that nerdy, like weird standoffish kind of character, and she adopts that. She's got the same hair as Egon. It's all the same.
I think she's really good in both movies. I wish
she's great.
They would have just given her
she's in this movie. I don't know if anybody ever talks about it. It's the movie that Chris Evans met Jenny
Slate
on, where McKenna Grace plays his niece, and she's like a genius, and Chris Evans is trying to keep her away from people figuring out that she's a genius, but they're anyway. She's
is this
insane.
The one where he had superpowers.
No, like
that's Captain America.
No. No, another one.
No,
different one.
Push. No. Is it? Oh. But this is it's a cute little rom com kind of movie. Rom com drama, I guess that's kind of the way I would describe it. And she's in that, but she's a little girl in that, and she's great in that. Like, she's very, very good. It's interesting to see her in other interviews because she is not like...
She doesn't look like Egon.
She doesn't look like Egon at all. She's got, like, long blonde hair, and but she's of, you know...
She's a good actor.
Okay. She is a good actor.
By the way, the first scene where they take off without her, you know, they all get in the car, and they're like, you know, and you have to stay behind. Something really weird, and my wife noticed it too, when she's standing watching the, you know, upset because she watched it, there's somebody walking around in the background.
Oh, really?
In the firehouse. And I was like, who is that? What was
that's
that?
Funny.
Another ghost?
It must have been an extra. It must have been like, it must have been.
Oh, I guess it could have been Janine.
No, it wouldn't have made any sense. Why
she's another one
there?
Where
it was
like
it was just some guy walking around back there. I think it was a crew member and they left him in
the scene. That's funny. But take out Janine, take out Bill Murray. You know, you just don't need
the
these
Bill
characters.
Murray thing is, I think that's, I don't, the initial time we see Bill Murray, what he's, when Camille Nunjami's got like the colander on his head. I don't mind that because like it gives Bill Murray a paycheck and he gets to sit down, do a little quippy stuff, and then he's out.
Right. But that's but they don't really move.
They've not
story.
Made any advancement in that technology.
No,
in right. 40 years.
No, you know why? Because you have to have nostalgia for the one
right.
from the.
It is interesting that they don't bring back Rick Moranis.
He doesn't want to do it.
He doesn't want to do it
at all.
No. Well, he was retired for years. His wife died. And he retired to raise his kids, and then now he says he's not retired, but he's very selective.
Yeah,
and
but I guess so, if he can be,
he's not taking paychecks.
Isn't he doing a Honey?
He did. He agreed to make a Honey I Shrunk the Kids sequel,
TV show.
It's been stuck in production.
Oh,
but they were gonna do some sort of Honey. It was just gonna be called Shrunk.
No, is that really it?
Yeah. Oh. Which sounds like the Broadway musical version of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
By the way, I would argue that he's the funniest part of the first movie.
It is not a far jump to leap.
I was supposed to be John Candy.
Is that right?
Is that?
Yeah. I did not know.
Wow. That would have been very different.
And he's funny in the second movie. Like, he's good.
Oh, yeah. I think Rick Moranis is underrated.
Yeah.
Like, I think that guy, because he's been gone for so long, people forget.
Yeah.
Like Strange Brew.
I grew up with watching
Strange Brew. Oh, my God.
No point in staring now, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's so funny.
I honestly
got his line.
I put Strange Brew, like, up there with Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
Like, and I, because those two movies, oh, man, I could watch those movies all the time. So good. They're so
good. Steamroller.
Mr. Mom's great too.
Mr. Mom is
Megan. You're making me crazy. That's what you're making me.
So flash forward to Raise a Cult.
Can we just
books.
Talk about Mr. Mom?
Oh yeah, we're Raise a Cult.
Kumail Nanjiani comes in and he's selling his grandma's.
He is
old,
great.
Yeah. He's the best part of this movie.
He's the only guy
who's
knows
telling jokes.
What movie he's
yes,
in?
Yes,
yep.
Yes,
he's
thank you.
Funny.
And a lot of complaints are like he seems like he's in a different movie. Yes, he's in the good
he's
movie.
A good he's in the movie it's supposed to be.
He is so funny. He's so charismatic. He's so genuinely funny.
The Ghostbusters that I would like to see is Paul Rudd, Camille Nunjani, McKenna Grace. And you could throw any of those guys, you know, Zac Efron. I mean, like any of those guys who have the comedic chops.
Yeah.
I know there was a period of time when they were going to reboot it and it was going to be like
it was the
Seth Rogen, Michael Cera,
Bill Hader.
Yeah. And I'm like,
the
that would have been
Ghostbusters.
Great.
Yeah. It absolutely would have been great. And I think
they would have told jokes.
They would have riffed.
I don't want to bring this up again. The female led one. They did exactly that. They brought in female comedians.
Mm-hmm.
They told jokes.
But it was just
actually,
a bad
story. Although,
although,
oddly enough, the funniest character was Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth.
which is kind of weird.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It shouldn't be. You've got
but
the
that's
movie.
More an attest to his talent.
Yeah. But I always said it on our episode. I'm like, funniest part of that movie was Chris Hemsworth. His lines killed
every time.
And they were improv. He was quick. He's good.
Yeah, he's very
funny. Yeah, because Paul Feig directs and he knows how to work with.
He's coming off. What's the
Bridesmaids?
No, well, yes, but he had just done.
Had he done the Heat?
The
was
Heat.
That before
I think Heat was.
I think
right
Heat is 2015. That sounds right.
Is
like
that
right before it?
And that movie's again.
Heat's very funny.
Bridesmaids and Heat are so good. Heat, I cannot recommend it enough. It's
really?
Very funny. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So he comes in to sell his grandma's trinkets, and little does he know that his grandma was like a protector of these
fire walkers,
and she has been tasked from generations down of handing down this orb that we had seen in the beginning. All the old timey guys that were in the Collector Society, the Adventure Society, they had got their hands on this orb that had been protecting this demon from hundreds of years back. And so when she dies, he goes to hawk it for $50 to raise. At first, he's like 30, and Ray's like, "Oh, this you got something interesting." He's like 50, like.
like look at the he's like 60.
Yeah. Very funny. But so he sells it to him and Ray uses PK meter and the thing like explodes. This thing is so off the charts with spiritual energy.
Yes. I know you guys are too young to think about this, but what did that orb look like to you?
It looked like a typewriter ball for
typewriter. The whole time I kept waiting for it to spin and type something out in whatever language that was on the thing. Yes, thank you.
So then, you know, they put that away. McKenna Grace has this relationship with this ghost that is continuing on, and we find out that the ghost is working for the ghost inside the ball. And they have this
machine.
That's
what's in a Wonder Ball.
That's right.
Oh, it's like a Pokemon.
It is like a Pokemon. Yeah. That's a bad Pokemon.
So we should mention, too, that the spirit containment unit or whatever at the firehouse is full. They're like, you've never emptied this?
This is a plot from the cartoon, right?
What?
The thing being full.
Well, it was getting full in the first one.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. You see it like... struggling to keep up.
Is there a scene in any? I can't remember. I feel like it must have been the cartoon where they look in, like they had like a view master where they could look.
They could see him in the cartoon.
Is it the cartoon? I think you're right. Okay, which is what I was like. Just do it here. Like if you're going to make the cartoon,
here's what I think would be a good plot point for the Ghostbusters sequels: is that
going into the containment unit?
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, but also like the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, like, the idea of the containment unit is pretty cruel.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Sure. Just letting them live
They're stuck in this place. It's not even purgatory, if you believe in such a thing. Like, these are ghosts that couldn't cross over, and you're locking them in a box, metaphysically speaking. Like, it's pretty mean.
That could have been a whole plot point. You could have had a whole group of people saying, like pro-ghost. Yeah. Saying, hey, you know, let the ghosts out. Yeah.
That would be a cool way to flip it on.
I got to tell you, in 2024... there would absolutely be pro ghost. Get them out. Let them live their lives.
You've locked up my loved ones.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, my grandma's in there.
They played something at the beginning of this movie that was hilarious. It's who was the guy in Silicon Valley?
Oh, Thomas Middleditch. Yeah.
He is like, you know, he's at his house and he sees the ghost of his wife for the first time. And she's like, I'm sorry. I love you so much. Can I at least kiss you? And she's like, yeah. And then four Ghostbusters bust in and bust her like in front of him. And he was like, she wasn't bad. And the guy's like, I realized as soon as I pulled the trigger that this was a bad idea. And then the guy's like daughter shows up. And she's like, Daddy, I miss you. Please, like, don't. He's like, I'll never let anything hurt you again. And then another Ghostbuster busts in and busts her.
That's pretty
good. He was like, yeah, that wasn't a good idea. I should not have done that. Really sorry about that.
So we find out that Winston Zeddemore, Ernie Hudson's character, is aware of this, and he has been making a new containment center with his team of people that has been, you know, trying to transfer all the ones from the old firehouse to there. And they say, you know, if we do this nonstop, it's going to take years or whatever. Like, it's a huge ordeal, but they're already working on it.
Yeah.
And so they have the orb. Ray has given it to them, and they go to this new facility that they have and kind of show us a bunch of new ghosts. You know,
I gotta tell you, that one, the shadow ghost, kind of creepy.
Yeah,
that was a creepy ghost.
Which one's the shadow?
The one that was like the demon looking thing that was like in the darkness.
Kind of like
a dementor.
Yeah, you got one that can possess any inanimate object. You have a little one that's like cute, but then he like barfs all this stuff on you. You know, just funny new, which is fun. Like, that's the part I like, is what creative ghosts can they come up with that you see? But you know, so they're kind of setting up all these ghosts we're going to see later, but they're building up this new facility to contain the ghosts.
Yes. And this orb is there. And again, we get the retread of the tiny Stay Puft Marshmallow Men.
Mm-hmm. And the minions.
They were funny in the first one because they were like little gremlins.
I liked them in the first one because it was a little touch of nostalgia, a little fan service, but then they were gone.
But it was also a tweak on fan service, right? Instead of making them giant, they made them small. Yeah.
They were little mischievous, little funny goobers, you know?
Right.
And in this one, they're just like, oh yeah, remember those guys? They're here.
Here they are.
Yeah, they came from Oklahoma all the way to here. Yeah.
But there was no reason to have them except for, like, remember, they were funny and they sold Funko Pops. But in this one, they're not doing the mischievous
stuff. Well, they are, but they're
for
like...
the mid-credit scene.
Yes.
Okay, but throughout the film, well, you know what I mean?
They're all kind of locked up in this, aren't they?
Yes, they're all kind of locked up.
But I know, but like
somebody feeds them after midnight.
Yeah. But who cares then? Like, just it was only funny because they were like running around doing goofy stuff,
right?
You know?
Right.
So I don't know. I didn't think they played well.
I like the one that melts themselves.
Yeah. And just like, now they're setting themselves on fire and they're jumping around. Like, that was a great scene.
Now that this orb is in with all these other ghosts, like, the other ghosts are like, want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, this ghost is so bad it scares the other ghosts.
Well, and here's the point. So, only a human can unlock the orb. Let's just jump right to
yes.
it. So,
yeah.
The not Jenna Ortega ghost character is trying to use McKenna Grace so that she can be possessed, so they have this moment.
Well, no, they take... Yes, you're right. They have this machine.
No, but you're right.
But, well, they have this... They
I'm
have
just
this,
trying to get
right.
to it.
They have a machine where they can pull a spirit out of this... possessed object.
Yeah.
So McKenna Grace hops into this machine because she wants to make out with this ghost.
Yeah.
That's what the whole point of going into this machine is.
So she has 2 minutes in heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
Like, what's the point of committing temporary suicide? Yeah. If you're not going to kiss the ghost, you could stand there and just look at the ghost.
It was just really weird to be on the same plane, but for no reason.
Well, I think, yeah, I could even accept the fact that the Bernie ghost, not Bernie, like
Bernie Sanders, the ghost of Bernie Sanders.
No, that would have been great. Not that I want Bernie Sanders dead, just the fact that there could be a Bernie Sanders ghost. That would be very funny. Well,
eventually.
Yeah, that's true. I could see where that this ghost was setting up McKenna Grace the entire time, right? She's playing into her emotions. She knows that she's got her. And then as soon as McKenna Grace becomes a ghost, the bad ghost inhabits her body, right? So they don't get to kiss because that was never the plan to begin with. Mm-hmm. From bad ghost point of view.
She's queer baiting her.
That's exactly it. Like, that's kind of the way I took it. But there is a moment where this ghost says, do I have to do this to her?
Like, I think the ghost did like her.
I think so,
right?
Too.
But
there wasn't. She just wanted to reunite with her family. Yeah. So she was willing
to do
the bad thing.
And McKenna Grace was into this ghost. And she didn't have the opportunity to kiss her because she was already possessed.
For sure. So so the bad guy uses this possession to speak the words that can unlock the orb. And I guess we find this out because Patton Oswalt, he's in this movie at the library.
He's basically Ray 2.0.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
So, yeah. So he says that only, this is whatever language and whatever, you know, so that's
it's like, if he said ancient Sumerian, I was like, come on, man. But he's like, it's even older than Sumerian. Yeah. I was like, okay.
But that's, so he says, there's this language, whatever. So she speaks the words, the orb unlocks, and then we get big demon horn, which I think is a really cool looking creature.
It's a good design.
I like this movement because they tried to do the like stop motion type movement from the original stuff.
Yeah, from what I understand, that also was a puppet.
Awesome.
It looked
really cool.
It was good. Very cool.
Yep.
And basically, this thing is death. Like, it just freezes everything that it touches.
Although Ray says, didn't give a word for it. He goes, it's the power to kill with fear.
Yes.
But it doesn't kill with fear. It just creates icicles, you know? In fact, most of the people that seems to be injuring didn't even see it.
That's true. You know, that's a good point.
Well, it's really scary because you're frozen. And so, like, you're preserved and you're awake, but, like, your senses are so slow. Maybe and then you're really scared.
But then they do a thing for a Terminator thing where the ghost. The freezy ghost goes into a place that's called like the Fire Master vape shop. And he's like, are you the Fire Master? And he's like, yeah, look at
that.
That
was a funny joke that the smoke shop was called Fire Master. Are you the Fire Master?
it's a retread of the joke in the first one.
Yeah.
Like, are you the key master? I am the gatekeeper. Whatever.
I thought that was good though. He's like, yeah, man, I'm the Fire Master.
But they can't, like, so the proton packs don't work against this thing. So they realize that. Camille Nunjani's grandmother had an entire back room that was just laced in brass.
And those jokes were very funny about the whole thing where he's like, these whips and chains are a sex dungeon.
Yeah. Please stop talking about that.
If this was a sex dungeon, why would these be there? And that's exactly what would be in a sex dungeon.
They had handcuffs and chains in here. Yeah. Why else would they be here?
That was a very funny interaction.
So they realized that McKenna Grace, again, being the smartest one in the room, the proton packs run off this certain thing, but they have to she has to take like parts of the reactor.
It's brass.
It needs to be copper or brass.
Copper or brass.
Right. And so she takes
copper.
Copper
is really expensive right now. So
this is true.
Well, they actually make copper's
been stolen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I found that funny because I'm like, so apparently it was deserted?
Yes.
I guess?
Yeah.
So, but then the containment unit was still down there working all this time?
The whole time.
Yes.
Whole nobody wanted to mess with it.
Crankheads were going in there and stripping it. They left the containment unit alone.
Yeah, right.
But Ernie Hudson bought it and cleaned it up, right?
I think he kept it like running.
But just enough. You see, they were still struggling there at the beginning.
Yeah,
he was just
true.
Like, I'm not going to pay
for
everything.
We'll buy this property, but you teach them a lesson.
Actually, I kind of like that, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. The entire time, Finn Wolfhard's like, I'm 18. I'm an adult. And they're having like a leak. And Carrie Coon's like, yeah, you're 18, so fix it. And she's like, the kid's like, cool, I have to put my hands in black mold. That's great. I love that idea. So McKenna Grace takes apart her proton pack and she dips like pieces of it into melted down brass.
She cut off
the fire pole.
She cut the fire pole, which magically reappeared, by the way. Yeah. In fact, and all of a sudden there was two fire poles.
I did notice that there were two. I thought that was interesting.
I thought she cut that thing down, and now there's two. Maybe they're magic. I don't know.
They're ghost fire poles.
Yeah.
So
that's why she liked to slide down it.
Hey, maybe. She's 15. Don't make those jokes.
The ghost was 16, so I guess that's still within.
That's true. I guess that's right? All right.
No, statue of ghost limitations?
Statue of ghost limitations. So the ghost ends up, he wants to take out Camille Nunjani. And they go to the firehouse, and all of the Ghostbusters are there. And McKenna Grace shows up. She's the last standing Ghostbuster. And she hits this ghost with the new proton pack that's got the brass laced thing, and it stops it.
On sale now at Walmart.
That's exactly. Yes. This whole time
he's trying to learn the firebending.
Yeah,
I thought it didn't really stop him, and then Kumail had to use his fire.
No, it stopped him.
And then he had to use the.
But she was running out of juice, and then
Kumail shorted out.
But I do like that he's just like, can't figure out how to make the fire move, and he just like makes it move a little bit. And he's like, I did it!
And he's like, watch this, and he's doing it with the candle. It's like, yeah.
I like that Paul Rudd's even like, okay, like that's what we've got. All right. So yeah, Camille Nunjani shows up wearing the whole like
it was very firewalker garb. Yeah, picked out the whole outfit and
garb,
put it on.
And these two end up fighting together and fight off the ghost. They realize that they don't have a trap strong enough. But then have they always said that the containment unit is a giant trap?
I mean, why wouldn't it be?
They said that actually wouldn't. They showed the blueprint for it. They said it was a giant trap. Egon designed it as a giant trap.
Okay.
I mean, I figured it the. The traps work on the same premise, and it's just a portable unit to move them
from point A
to contain them and then put them in a larger storage device.
We should also say that the containment unit gets cracked open because the deal is this Freezy ghost is going to basically corrupt all of these other ghosts and make them work for it. So we get shot for shot retread of the first movie when William Atherton turns off the containment unit and the big beam in the sky shoots out and
I love it.
Yeah. Thought we had seen our last sky beam, but apparently not. Where all the ghosts are like flying. You know, it's the exact same thing. I think they may have even used the same musical cue, which is a great cue in the first movie.
Yeah.
They didn't use the rap from the second one.
They didn't. Thank God.
Well, because the rap references Vigo. Found out about Vigo, the master.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Trying to battle my boys. That's not legal.
It can't do that. Yeah.
Bobby Brown sang that in concert.
No,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a solo show and he sang that one.
That's hilarious.
That did really well, didn't it? Like, top the charts for a while?
I don't know if it was number one, but it definitely got played on the radio.
It's Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah, I was like, no, Ray Parker Jr.
Yes. But what is? Oh. I Want a New Drug.
I Want a New Drug.
Yeah. I Want a New Drug.
That's at the Draft House, they talked about how they got sued like constantly for that song. It was Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis sued because it's
Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that was a joke. They were talking about how.
But Ray Parker Jr. got sued by Huey Lewis because it's a retread.
It does sound
of,
I Want a New Drug.
Yeah. And then, and so he had to pay him a bunch of money. And then eventually, Huey Lewis had to pay it all back.
Yep.
Because there was a.
It was an NDA, right?
There was a non-disclosure agreement as part of the settlement that they wouldn't discuss it, and he, like 30 years later, discussed it on Behind the Music.
No.
And that negated the terms, and he had to pay it all.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Wah. I didn't hear that one. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But you know what? He enjoyed the money for 30 years.
Yeah, he's all right.
He got his use out of it.
That is one concert that I regret not seeing. Like Huey Lewis and the News is one of my favorite bands of all time. Like
that's
when
the
I was
power of
that's so great. Like all that stuff, but I never saw him.
I saw him at
concert.
Mississippi Nights.
Yeah,
right in between Sports and Four.
That's where you want to see him.
And it was right before Four came out, and they were like an arena act at that point.
Oh yeah,
and they played Mississippi Nights under a fake name.
Oh wow,
and like it kind of leaked out that like there's a band playing Mississippi Nights and the name was Sports Section.
Uh-huh.
And so we were like, we bought tickets, even though they wouldn't confirm it. And then we went, and like, sure enough,
that's awesome.
Just wanted to play some clubs.
And now he doesn't play anymore because he's lost his hearing, right?
He's lost his hearing.
Yeah, which sucks.
He was supposed to play, we've got a little amphitheater in Alton. And he was like the big act for that summer. And then like a month before.
Yeah, it was like 6 weeks before.
Yeah, 6 weeks before. They're like, nope.
Dang.
Melody turns on Garaka, realizing she did not intend to honor the deal.
Garaka Khan?
Garaka Khan. I thought about you immediately. When I heard
how did she restrain him? I don't remember.
She gave McKenna Grace the match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For the fire.
Maybe she lights it. And then somehow magically. Camille Ninjani.
I thought that was a nice payoff to the match thing.
It's weird that ghost matches work like
Well, it was a real book of matches that somehow she was able to hold on to.
The book of matches was the thing that she was possessing.
But there was something magical about it because you see her take it out and try to just light it and it didn't work. She closed the book cover and there was another match.
Okay. Interesting.
That's true.
Yeah. Because I remember in the beginning when she shows at the chess bench,
right,
and it's a ghost matchbook, like it's in her ghost form.
I don't know.
By the way, there was one scene with her that we kind of skipped over real quick that I thought was kind of interesting, where she was in a diner, was that it? And they get called, and then so now you've got Phoebe's like oh, I'm here to
bust you,
and oh gosh, this is the
ghost.
I've got a crush on, and then she kind of paused, and then fired at her anyway.
Yeah.
And a podcast destroys, like, shoot her.
Yeah. And, like, right. Destroys the diner.
Well, to me, that's the part where maybe, you know, Flame Ghost, whatever her name is, was like, oh, okay, well, if you're going to do this, then I might as well sell you out to...
Interesting. Oh.
Yeah, that would have made an interesting motivation.
Well, if you're going to bust ghosts, then...
I think Human Torch was her name.
Yeah. It was Melody, was her name.
Melody, okay.
But even going back past that, where McKenna Grace is like, look, if I wanted to, I'm really good at this. Like, yeah, if I wanted to, I would have. And she was like, okay, fine. So the
city thaws.
Everybody wins. The William Atherton shows back up.
No, Garaka does not win.
That's true. He gets
busted. Okay.
So yeah, we get
sort of. He freed all those ghosts.
That's what I'm saying though. And it's just like the first one where the beam is set off in the sky. All these ghosts get loose. But
the juice is loose.
Mm-hmm. I do not want to see that movie.
I do. I can't wait.
I cannot.
I'm so excited.
I can wait as long as humanly possible. Well,
did they show that trailer before?
They did it for me.
We didn't get
trailers because it did a thing where the movie didn't start on time.
God.
And then it was like we waited like 20 minutes.
This is why people don't go to the theaters.
Yes.
I love going to the theater when it works well and the people behave. Alamo's a great example of this.
Yeah.
But the big chains, AMC, are so crappy about people on their phones all the time. The movie doesn't start. The projection's bad. It's like, and the prices are just as expensive as.
Yeah, I went out and said, hey, you know, it's been 10, 15 minutes. And they're like, okay, we'll get it going. And then it started playing at the point, already 15 minutes into the movie. You know, it was a scene with Finn Wolfhard, you know, I had to go back out. I was like, hey, you got to start that over from the beginning. And he goes, oh, shoot. And he goes and runs off. And
it's a mess.
It was a big mess. You know what? I guarantee you there's some projectionist that's at the theater right now, you know, gritting his teeth every time this happens because they don't have projectionists.
It's just a button.
Yep, it's all programmed on timers and stuff.
Yeah,
so I went to Alamo to see this because especially after the last one, I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Totally
I'm not going to AMC
it.
Anymore.
It is,
I just can't do it.
It is heads and shoulders.
It is. It's the best.
The best experience.
Best in town, for sure.
It's because they
care. I just don't
want
to drive that far.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is why, like, sometimes I wouldn't do it, but then I regret it every time. Where I'm like, you know what? I'm driving that far and spending a little more on popcorn because I just have a terrible experience at AMC.
But do you spend a little, because it's endless?
Oh, I spend a lot more,
But you
I have $5 endless popcorn, or I have $10 plus $6 tip popcorn.
That's fair.
It's okay. 15 versus okay. 5. It's a lot more, and it's a little further away,
but
it's worth it.
If you get like 3 bowls of popcorn.
Yeah, but I get 3 bowls for $5 at the other place.
But these are bigger.
It's endless. I'm just saying.
And I got to go to
11.
That's right. Does AMC have churro popcorn?
They don't.
There we go.
No,
my point is they've got flavored popcorn.
Oh, do they?
They've got. You can get caramel. You can get. They've got gourmet.
But Alamo puts little pieces of churros chopped up in the popcorn. Not Mr. Salty's Sprinkle Bunch. You know what I mean? They have really good.
We're gonna trademark Mr. Salty's Sprinkle Bunch.
I'm not a popcorn guy. I'm more of a candy guy at the movies. went out to Alamo once, and I just asked for M&Ms. I assume a pack of M&Ms.
Nope.
No, it comes out, looks like a Chinese leftover container.
Yep.
With
a full thing of M&Ms.
I was like, this is the weirdest.
It is very. When you do ask for, like,
scooping with their hands and, you know, putting it in here.
I bet that those are prepackaged.
Okay.
I'm willing to bet that because it is. You ask for, like, they have gummy bears or Reese's Pieces, which, you know, or M&Ms, and they come in, like, this little, like, Chinese takeout container,
but it's quieter.
It is
because a bag.
That's
oh,
it.
Does it make the wrinkling? Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
See, Alamo thinks about all this, and I'm serious. Like, they put so much thought and care into the movie going experience.
Yeah.
And Kumail Nanjiani said he will come out and shush you if you do not silence your phone or if you talk. So
you at your AMC, you get those bull. Nicole Kidman.
Look at my blanket I made.
That's
at Marcus.
At the draft house, you get Kumail Nanjiani telling you to turn off your goddamn phones, or I'm going to shush you. I'm going to embarrass you so hard that you want to leave the theater.
So Ghostbusters are back.
Yeah, the ghosts are out, much like the first ones.
So,
no. And that's, they become the Spanglers. Like,
well, first, okay, the mayor is trying to show up and say,
yes.
Okay.
We're getting rid. And
we're going to arrest you all, and everybody's like, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And
he's like, hey, Dickless.
Yeah. I will say the Phoebe calling him dad thing was so
bad.
I didn't even mind it.
Hate it.
That was not earned.
Especially
whatsoever.
When we just saw a version of this in the Haunted Pool movie. Was it?
Oh
no. The movie where that wasn't Insidious, where they go into the weird zone.
Oh,
the red door.
Imaginary.
Oh, yes.
And it was like, she should not call him dad.
No,
he is not her dad.
They're not married.
She can love and respect him, and he can give her away at her lesbian wedding, but
ghost wedding.
Yeah, but she's not his dad. I mean, he came into her life when she was 13, 14 years old.
Right. I got to say, just personal way I grew up. I had a stepmom between ages of 5 and 15.
And that's pretty young for her to come into your life.
And I never called her mom.
Right.
I probably should have because she was my de facto mom.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, she raised me, but I
but I
never called her mom.
But I don't care if people decide to do that. You can do what you want to do. But my point is, I don't think it's weird
at 15 and I've known this guy for 1 year.
Yeah.
Andy was your teacher. Like,
yeah.
But it just didn't get earned in the movie either. Like, the point was he wasn't getting called dad. And then all
he didn't even necessarily want to be called dad. He was just trying to figure out what the dynamics of the relationship
were. Not only that, she wasn't privy to his whole conversation. Remember where he thought she was on the other side of the door?
I felt like
and he was doing this whole thing of like what our relationship
was
going to be. And she didn't even hear any of that. She wasn't even there.
And now he's dad all of a sudden. I just thought it felt so forced.
It would
maybe
be
she's saying as a joke. She's like, thanks, dad.
Yeah.
That would have been fine.
Yeah.
That's
but
telling
yeah,
a
mean,
joke.
It was just a forced, unearned emotional button.
Do we know like where her dad is? Do they ever reference in the first one? Like,
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's different if the movie had a script where there was a conversation between the two of them. And she's like, I'm not ever calling you dad. And then all of a sudden they share a moment and then it's like, okay, dad. Like, there's no payoff in this because all of a sudden she just does that where we have no history of her not calling him dad, thinking he's dad. Like,
being conflicted about whether or not she should see him that way. Like, nothing.
Yeah. And they play it off like because the end of the first Afterlife had such a good pull at your heartstrings moment.
Right.
They're like, we need this thing. And he's like, oh, do you hear what she said? And it's like, oh,
I hated it. Is that he calls himself, like, he calls them the Spanglers.
Yeah.
Like, his name is like Guberman.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, we're the Spanglers. And Carrie Coon's like, oh, are we? We're the, okay.
Yeah.
But, I didn't think about it being a longer episode of the cartoon. But that's exactly what this is.
Just overstuffed. It would have been a lot more fun if you would have taken out all the extraneous
things.
And the callbacks.
Yeah.
I didn't need any of that. And otherwise, it was fun.
You could give me William Atherton as the mayor.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That one works.
That makes sense to a certain degree.
Yeah, filling up.
Also, he wasn't as
dickish.
By the way, I was watching, I still have cable. I was watching Ghostbusters on AMC the other night. They cut out the dickless
line,
thing, but they left in the
blowjob.
Blowjob.
Yeah.
For one, AMC, anything goes anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could say the F word on there now. I was like, why?
Because that's the edit that they were supplied and nobody questioned.
Yeah, they did that on Walking Dead.
The edit left in the ghost
dropping
DJ,
the F bombs.
It's weird.
But that is funny that they. Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
It's great.
It's a perfect line.
And in the edit, it's like, it's true. This man is some sort of animal. It doesn't even make any sense. Right.
It's like
it makes no sense.
It's the Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Mother trucker, or it's the major league one where he's like, strike this guy out.
You know what happens when you find a stranger? This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Yes, that's a great
one. Is that really what that is?
That's from Big Lebowski.
That's what they say?
When John Goodman is taking a golf club to the car? This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
You know, there's a great, so I saw a photo from one of the Lebowski Fest. You know, people do the costume contest.
Yeah.
Someone did Stranger in the Alps. So they were, because that's the name of Sam, what's his name's character in there, the cowboy.
Sam
Elliott. Yeah.
So they had him in like Lederhosen, but with a cardboard outfit.
That's pretty good. Yeah, the stranger.
That's a good joke. I like that. Yeah, this is, I think this is, it was a good time with the movies. Are there problems with it? Without question. If you just go in and you're wanting like a fun, lighthearted Ghostbusters movie, then you're going to be fine. If you don't have high expectations, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. It's just a shame because I think the last one was so good. I think they really could have done something.
I like this one better than the last one.
I like the last one better.
Mm, okay. This is my problem with the last one. They leaned really hard into the nostalgia and it was like this family drama. And I was like, is this what Ghostbusters is supposed to be about?
Yeah.
You know?
Here's the thing.
It was done very well. I'm not saying it wasn't done well.
I don't
go to Ghostbusters and go, oh.
Right. Ghostbusters, the original, it's a slob versus snobs comedy.
It's exactly what it is.
And it's all it ever wanted
to be. It's Revenge of the Nerds. It's Porky's. It's Meatballs.
It's Animal House. It's Stripes. It's just that, but with ghosts. And I think so. I had joined a Ghostbusters Facebook group and left it.
You poor bastard!
Because such a show.
It's crazy how all of these little MC, you know, Snyder Bros.
It's a personal affront to them that someone might not love this movie as much as them, and they've all decided this movie is great on Wednesday. Right. Like nobody had seen it yet, and they're so appalled that critics might. Not like it.
Just like all the other Ghostbusters movies critics didn't like.
Yeah, right? And I was just like, I gotta get out of here.
Matt F. Bosler loves going into those things.
Yeah.
And just reading comments.
I mean, he goes in there to stir the pot?
No. He just likes to read the comments.
But I think what it really comes
he
down
sends it
to
us every once in a while.
Is that there are people, I think the diehard Ghostbusters fans really love the lore and the characters, and like
that's fair,
but like the lore and the characters aren't that deep or complex. I don't feel like it's a rich enough world to embrace to that degree. And so, like, and everybody else, I think for the most part, just wants to see a funny movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I mean, I've kind of made my peace with the fact that, like, really, I liked the first movie.
I love the first movie.
After that, it's just kind of like.
Okay.
Same way. And that first movie, I couldn't even put a number on how many times I watched it.
Well,
because back in the 80s, you know, VHS weren't that common. We had maybe 6 movies on VHS.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters was one of them.
Yeah.
My brother and I watched it all the
time. I mean, it was so expensive to buy a VHS.
Yes. We bought these used bucks. From it was like a place at mom and pop place.
Yeah.
We bought that used.
And it's like, if you bought one, it was going to be it's like when you first got CDs, you were only going to buy Greatest Hits.
Yes.
Or Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
Because it's like you wanted something where you knew every song. And movies were like that. If you're going to suck it up and buy a VHS for 80 or 90 bucks, like you're going to get a movie that you know you want to watch repeatedly.
Over and over
like
and over.
Ghostbusters or Airplane.
Yeah. Yes.
But same. And I probably saw this movie came out the summer before
84?
I turned 14. So, like, I mean, I probably saw this movie 4 or 5 times just in the theater.
In the theater, yes.
Like, I would just.
I've told that story
over and over again.
They must have re-released it because I saw this in theater.
Yeah,
I saw a little bit of it in theaters.
Yeah.
Ghost that was reaching the hole in your popcorn bucket?
No.
Your dad made you leave during the blowjob?
Nope. I got through the blowjob. No, wait. Well, it depends.
But it wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, it was in the movie. Oh, well, I was with my aunt. That... I was with my aunt.
Oh,
so...
I thought this... Never mind. No. This was a different story.
No, no, no. Okay. I was a kid. Yeah. Like a kid, okay, a little kid. Gotcha. And the scene, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't like things changing into other things. Lou Ferrigno into the Hulk. No, thank you.
Wolf.
Werewolf. American Werewolf. No, thank you. The Wolfman in Monster Squad.
Hated Some Like It Hot.
It was terrible. Yeah. The Wolfman in Monster Squad. No way.
That's Teen Wolf 2. Jason Bateman.
Teen Wolf 1. I was like, nope.
I know.
I'm just
what about
fast.
Teen Wolf 2?
I never saw that. Okay. Nobody did. but the scene in this, when the claws come out of the dog, my aunt tells us, she's like, you looked up at me and said, I'm done.
Oh,
and
wow.
We got up and walked out. And because I couldn't, you know, I was.
Okay.
But
that's
like,
funny.
But in 84, I would have been 2. So I'm like, there's no way that they took me to the theater at 2 years old. And I was.
Or that you would remember.
That I was cognizant enough to be like, I'm done. But I don't want to watch this anymore.
I had only seen Ghostbusters 2 once. And then I rewatched it. And I'm like, this is why. I've seen that first one so many times. Yeah. And I watched the second one. And I hardly remembered any of it. And I'm like, this is awful.
Yeah. And another thing that was bad about that, and I'm sure you remember this, there was a long gap between those two.
Oh, sure.
You know I mean, because what, 84?
84 and 89?
89 or 90, was it?
I don't think it was 90. I bet
was
it was still 89.
I think it was 80s. 89.
Oh, was it? Okay,
still,
so it's not as long as I thought.
5 years to wait,
five
and then
years.
You're like...
Well, okay, I was thinking it was
longer than
Because
they couldn't get Bill Murray back on board.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that shows in that
and
movie.
And they've never really been
he
able to get back
He walks through
since.
That movie like he doesn't give a...
Yeah, that's the thing. He's bad. He's not good in the second one. He doesn't want to be there.
No.
And it shows, and that's when I'm like, this is lame.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be there in the first one.
That's true.
Really? Not even the first one?
No, the deal was he wanted to make Razor's Edge, and the studio was like, well, that sounds like an awful idea. And they really wanted him in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And because Ghostbusters was originally written to be an Aykroyd Belushi movie.
Right, right.
And, and then, obviously, Belushi would not sign the deal.
I wonder why.
Because he was dead.
That's right.
And so he retooled it, and then it was going to be...
It was Chris Rock, right?
No, Eddie Murphy.
It was going to be Eddie Murphy, because he had just worked with him in Trading Places.
Right.
And then Eddie Murphy passed, so he could do Beverly Hills Cop, so he could headline his own movie, because he had just
Can't
done...
blame him.
Like,
it's two, a good choice.
He had just done 3 movies where he split billing, right? Because he had done 48 Hours.
Oh, sure.
He had done Trading Places.
Have you watched that recently?
I mean,
It's like holy...
The verbiage.
Yes.
In it?
Yeah.
Because
it is
Nick Nolte
crazy.
Is...
Nick Nolte's character
is terrible.
Straight up racist. But, like, I will also say it still kind of works because... It's not trying to be cutesy. It's like, this guy's a dick.
Yes.
And they have to work together.
Yeah,
so it still works. But it's definitely
jarring. Boy, oh boy.
It is jarring.
But
Trading Places.
But Trading Places. And then he made Best Defense with Dudley Moore.
Oh, I don't think I've
he made
seen
so
that.
Much money
man,
on those
I
Beverly
totally
Hills.
I forgot about that
Yeah.
One.
And then that was that one tanked hard.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I've never seen
it. And then he did Beverly Hills Cop and bounced right back.
Well, that was
it's crazy
his biggest hit at that point, wasn't it?
Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah, more so than Trading Places.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's probably his biggest hit to this day.
It's so much money. Yeah.
It's crazy to think that Landis is coming back for that.
Yeah, is weird.
Like, Eddie Murphy was not, he's like, I'm never working with him again.
After Vampire in Brooklyn,
would not work with him. So I'm kind of, look, I know I love John Landis, early John Landis. Oh, new John Landis, not very good.
Murderer John Landis.
Child killer John Landis. I am very interested to see what this movie looks like.
Same. But so I don't even remember where I started off.
Oh, you were talking about Razor's Edge. He wanted.
Oh yeah, so he
wants one for me, one for you.
They traded off, and that he agreed to do Ghostbusters in order to do.
I might watch Razor's Edge.
And Razor's Edge was okay.
Yeah.
I like the original version.
The interesting footnote on Razor's Edge, there's a scene where he's giving a eulogy, and he's like, this man was fat and dumb and nobody liked him. And that is almost word for word, that whole scene is the eulogy he gave for John Belushi.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Huh. And also, it doesn't really fit in that story. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. But I want to say for Ghostbusters 2, like, I think, had he just gotten divorced and he needed the money?
It could be.
Well, I mean, had he had a hit?
I know that life.
Time?
Yeah.
I mean, was this, what was the movie he did with Richard Dreyfuss?
What About Bob?
What About Bob?
Was this around that time?
No, this would have been later because that was in the 90s.
What About Bob was in the
90s? What About Bob is in the 90s.
Okay, yeah. So Groundhog Day, like that whole little run.
That's in the 90s as Scrooge, well.
Scrooged?
90s.
Was 80s?
Is no, no, I think that's 90s. Scrooged is early 90s.
Wow. 91, okay, well, 93 maybe? He has a very interesting career.
Yeah.
Because he would do kind of like those screwball.
It's weird that he's been canceled so much recently, but they're like, but for Ghostbusters, he's back, and no one talks about
well,
it. But it's
I
like
don't know. When he showed up in, well, it's not like my theater was that crowded last time, but I didn't hear a pop.
Yeah, you know I just mean? Don't think it's people, like people are that into him.
Well, he was also all over the trailer, so there's no surprise to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right, good right, point. Right.
So let's see. So just looking at his resume from 80 on. So he's in Caddyshack, and then he's in Loose Shoes. He's in Stripes, Tootsie,
Stripes.
Ghostbusters. And then 84 is Ghostbusters, Nothing Lasts Forever, whatever that is.
I have
is.
No idea what that is.
And then the Razor's Edge. And then he pops up in for, what, one scene in The Little Shop of Horrors in 86. Yeah. In 88, he has an uncredited scene, and she's having a baby, which I don't remember. So
that's
sorry,
a good movie.
Scrooge is 88. Okay. Ghostbusters 2 is 89. 90 is Quick Change, which you've never seen. I cannot recommend it highly enough. It might be my favorite Bill Murray movie.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I would
love
agree with
Quick
that.
Change so much. And then 91 is What About Bob? Groundhog Day, Mad Dog and Glory, Ed Wood, Kingpin is 96.
Kingpin is
he
the turn.
He was great in Kingpin.
Yeah.
Kingpin is the turn, though, where he starts doing those weird.
See, I think Rushmore is the turn.
Oh, sure.
It's because it's like Kingpin.
That's fair.
Larger Than Life, shot in St. Louis. Space Jam, The Man Who Knew Too Little.
Bad.
I forgot he was in Wild Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And then Rushmore.
Once he got in the Wes Anderson stuff, he became the cult figure, the Chive and all that. I mean, he became all. So Bill Murray says he got tricked into starring in Ghostbusters 2. I joined under false pretenses. I thought that the only reason anyone would make another one was just to make money, and I was probably the most reluctant. Someone outfoxed me anyway. I don't know if Ivan set it up, but they got us all back together in a room, and really, we hadn't been together in a room since the movie came out, and it was really, really fun to be together. We were really funny together. Those were some really wonderful, really funny guys and girls. Sigourney Weaver, Annie Potts, there's some really spectacular women and funny as hell. They got us together. They pitched us a story idea that was really great. I thought, holy cow, we could make that work. Murray agreed to star in Ghostbusters 2 based on the pitch, but that pitch never materialized into what would become the sequel screenplay. As the comedian explained, it ended up not being the story they wrote. They got us in the sequel under false pretenses. Harold had this great idea, but by the time we got to shooting, I showed up on set and went, what the hell is this? What is this thing? But we were already shooting it, so we had to figure it out. So they pitched him and wrote a different script.
That's a legit complaint, and I'm sure that happens.
Now but I'm curious like, what the pitch was.
Murray's got a history of like saying he Bale. Got tricked into
oh,
movies.
Oh, Garfield.
Was that Garfield?
That was the biggest line of BS.
Yeah, where he like thought it was a Coen Brothers movie. Yeah.
Sure you did.
Well, because it's directed by Joel Coen, but it's...
Oh,
but it's a different one. It's spelled different.
Yeah, it's like C.
And also, really, do you really fall for that?
Then explain Garfield 2.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Also, read the script. Does it look like a Coen Brothers movie? Does it sound like something they would do?
This is why you have agents and not answering machines.
Yes, thank you. Right? That's right.
Also true. But anyway, there you go. So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21, and on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Matt, where can they find you and your wares?
You can find me on Instagram, MattReedy219.
And so don't forget, you can find the show online at facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, I close my computer.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Come on, computer, wake up.
Until next time, the Wolfman has nards.
The Wolfman does have nards.
Until next time, Larry stows away in Mary's trunk.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.